bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
The Escape Pod on Joy and via podcast at joy.org.au/escape pod.
Russ and I, Mark Adams, are here with Escape Pod today. We don't have Joe at the moment. She's in Egypt. We will try and get her on air during the course of the show. But Russ, what's your big news for the new year?
Well, Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
2016's here and we're ready to rock and roll, aren't we? On Escape Pod?
Yeah.
You know what? The top five destinations.
What are the top five destinations
I
for
love them
2016?
For this year. Iceland.
Iceland,
obviously. Yeah. Sardinia. Now, have you ever thought about getting yourself a moped and driving around Sardinia?
No, I never thought of that.
Doesn't that sound fabulous?
It does, though.
Yeah.
Now, I'm thinking of it now.
As we spoke last week, Iran is up there.
Mm-hmm.
Cambodia is up there.
Oh, yeah, yep, yep. And see Angelina Jolie.
Oh, yes, you could. And the last one is...
Slithering around Cambodia.
Doing some of her humanitarian work.
Yeah, she does a great job there.
She's a bit of a goddess, mm-hmm. that one, she is. And the last one is South Africa is up in the top five for 2016. So all
great
gorgeous
country.
Places to go to, yeah. Mm. And, of course, we've got our lovely Jo over in being the Queen of the Nile in Egypt still. I bet she's having a fabulous time down there with...
She is. I've been looking at the Facebook posts and her very dear friend who is a jazz singer and the hotel she's been staying with and the monument she's been climbing all over and all the things that she's been getting up to. She's got some great photos and, of course, doing it all in Isimiyaki vintage.
As she does.
As she does.
She's the glamorama of the airwaves.
Exactly. So we'll try and get Joe on air like we did last week a bit later towards the end of the hour because it's very early in the morning in Egypt. But
now, Mark, 2016, where are you going to this year? Anywhere fabulous in travel world?
No, for me, I'm at law school, so study to get through it, and I'll look forward to doing something at the end of that. But when we look back at 2015, it was a incredible year in a lot of ways. Some really big stories and developments in travel, Uber and the sharing economy, and we had a lot of guests on from Coinjar and
all
different innovative things that are contributing to how you can get out and about and travel on much reduced resources, but also do some really interesting things. We also had some very big challenges for cities that are big tourism destinations like Paris.
Mm.
We have a very interesting guest who can talk to both those things. Who do we have, Russ?
We have an ex-Escape Pod.
Well, Detours.
Oh, she's
Joy personality.
She's a fabulous lady. You know, she's the one and only Jodie Wilmer. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome back on air, Jodie.
Oh, thank you so much. Happy New Year. It's great to be back on Joy.
Yep. It's lovely to see your smiling face again. Mm.
Thank you. Yeah. It's great to see you guys.
And this is the International Week of the Volunteer, isn't it?
Indeed it is. And this year it is National Digital Inclusion Year or something like that as well.
Do you know what that means?
Well, digital inclusion means being on the internet to do things. And mm-hmm. I think that links very much with travel because so much of the information we get or the ways we now explore things is related online.
Correct. And also it can help us get to those niches that some people can't necessarily access. So someone with a disability might not be able to present at a travel agent or a seminar or a venue to get information about how to get around. You've got a lot of experience in that area, having worked with Travellers Aid for nearly a decade.
Yes, it was nearly a decade, yeah.
So how, in your mind, has travel changed for people with disabilities?
I think
over that time.
Yeah, I think certainly the internet has been a really positive thing for people to access information. And you know, sometimes people think by having some sort of small symbol, in the their listing about their accommodation or their tour might be sufficient for people to know if it's accessible for people with disabilities. But the thing is, you know, like everyone in the world and everyone in life, we're all very different. And so often people need more detailed information. So the great thing about the internet is that people can sort of drill down to sort of see, is this a product or service that's right for me? And if yes, you know, then go ahead and embrace it and do it.
Particularly for gay and lesbian people who are people living with a disability, it can be quite challenging, confronting to have to discuss so many particular needs. So the internet allows people some level of anonymity and the ability to harvest the information they need before making purchase decisions in their own time.
For sure. And now there's so many review sites where people can post about their experiences, which of course gives other people an insight into the level of customer service and preparedness and, you know, do people actually accessibility and do people actually genuinely treat you like an individual with unique needs and actually want to respond to that as opposed to a homogenous sort of view of, you know, this will be okay for everybody. And so that's what I think is quite exciting about travel and the online world. When I first travelled, which is when I met you, Mark, you know, over 25 years ago.
Yes, there when was, we were three.
I know. There was no internet. And the way of accessing information was at the library with an atlas.
I do recall when I got my job in Dubai in 1995, you and I walked to the South Melbourne Library to get a Lonely Planet guide to find out where the hell this country was.
That's right.
Which country was it?
Dubai.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And this is, Emirates wasn't flying to Australia back then. There was no internet. Dubai was still very much so a unknown entity.
I saw a photograph of Dubai, I guess, 25 years ago, and it was desert. There was absolutely nothing there, and they've really made it into this, you know, this mega city. It's absolutely fabulous. But you're right. In the olden days, even us travel agents, we had no computers, so we would sit there with manuals, and we would have to manually build and construct airfares and things like that. So and people did go and use their travel providers and Lonely Planet
it was too
guides.
Complex.
Exactly right. It was all too complex for the average Joe Blow to do. But we live in a wonderful world these days, and you know. A world of the most amazing apps that are ever being produced. So
yeah.
I think it's a pretty exciting time as far as travel goes, isn't it? Yeah.
But also it helps people who have got really specific needs. If they are a gay and lesbian traveller, if they are a person with a particular requirement because of the disability they live with, they can really drill down into specific sites that can speak to them and assist them get the information that's really pertinent to them to make travel decisions.
Yeah, I think that's very true, but I think we've got a long way to go.
What do you think we need to do?
Oh, I think firstly, there's many products and services that could provide amazing experiences for people with disabilities, but they don't actually recognise that as a market. You know, the stats are about 20% of people who travel in Australia have some form of disability. And if you think about that as a market segment, it's massive and it's growing, ageing population. Mm-hmm. And when I look at what's happened in, say, the UK with the Olympics, the retrofitting and the new developments that took place of major attractions and venues made a real stand to ensure that there were accessible bathrooms. They're called changing places. So if you think of a normal accessible bathroom, you know, it's got a larger door and, you know, a bit wider and there's a
ramp. Opens out.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully it's not full of chairs, you know, which is often the case in restaurants. But so changing places is a concept in the UK. And when the London Olympics occurred, they made a commitment as a city to add in these changing places facilities, which have track mounted hoists, adult change tables, you know, amazing facilities. So now that's like a lasting legacy. You know, they're the sort of facilities we need. In Australia, in Victoria, you know, we've had some commitments from governments to install these. So Melbourne Zoo, the Melbourne Cricket Ground, there's a number of places in regional Victoria as well. And in Western Australia just recently, you know, there's about 10 or 15 recently announced. So if you think of what the barriers are for people to travel, accessible bathrooms are one of the key ones.
Absolutely.
And if you can, you know, add those sort of facilities in key, not just public places, but hubs like transport hubs, that's awesome. We
so
need more of that.
So it's not just ramps.
It's not just ramps. And again, you know, people are all different and people have a range of different needs. I was watching the other day on a supermarket commercial talking about the Australian of the Year, a young woman who's deaf.
Oh, and wasn't that an amazing commercial? I loved it.
Amazing commercial. She was using Auslan. But you know what was missing? Captions. I don't ever listen to the ads. I have it on mute.
Right.
So captions are a really easy thing that you can do to make it accessible for a range of people.
She is an amazing girl. She is a deaf girl and she just is an amazing young Australian for the year. I thought she was a fabulous choice. But you're also, you work with Airbnb and we'll talk more about Airbnb later. But
sharing economy.
Yeah. What would Airbnb do as far as caring for disability people? people? What would their outlook on that be?
Well, I guess my role is as a host on Airbnb. So we have an apartment here in Melbourne. We've been hosting for just over 2 years, and we've hosted about 200 guests from all around the world, including Iceland.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's just a standard apartment. It does have some fabulous views of the cities. But I think on the Airbnb platform, and I don't work for them, so I'm not speaking on behalf of them, but there is, some basic level of information. But again, I think there's so much more opportunity for hosts and indeed, putting pressure on the service providers of these platforms to enhance the searchability of that, because, wheelchair symbols do not indicate accessibility, and also people have a whole range of needs. So again, does your TV have captions? Well, you can't search for that on any of the state government websites, and whether it's commercial hotels or other types of accommodation. So we have a huge opportunity in Australia to do it better and to provide these amazing experiences for people to enjoy all sorts of aspects of urban and regional travel.
Because Mark and I spoke last week about some taxi drivers in Melbourne that weren't picking up seeing eye dog people, and this was big news in Melbourne only 10 days ago, and how upsetting it was, because one of them was a returned serviceman who absolutely broke down in tears because he's fought for our country, but he's not allowed to get into a taxi with a dog. And so there is a lot of discrimination out there, or services lacking. Yeah.
Well, that's the driver's poor choice, because assistance animals are permitted.
Of course,
taxis, restaurants.
I mean, there's lots of legislation that protects people to do that. But I think at the end of the day, if you drill down to what is the basic fundamental human right and access, then, think about it from the point of view of putting yourself in the shoes of the customer or the visitor, and how would I feel to be treated that way? I reckon that's the litmus test. If you think of it from that point of view, you don't make those sort of mistakes.
Exactly, and that's what you would do with Airbnb, I guess, as well. Yeah.
You're on Escape Pod. Jo is currently in Egypt. We're just trying to find out if she's available to get online and have a chat to us and talk to us about what she's been doing in the ancient land. But our guest today is Jodie Wilmer. Jodie Wilmer, that a lot of people would know, has been a very long term Joy broadcaster volunteer, is a life member, did detours for, was it 17 years?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, and before that it was called Gay Away.
That's right. When
Joy was... I didn't think of that name. It was Andrew Belknaves. It's his fault.
That's when Joy was in South Melbourne.
That's correct. Yeah,
long time ago.
Yep. That's a good name for a travel agency, Gay Away.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, actually, it's funny how I got into Joy, because Andrew had this idea. He was a friend of mine who said, we could play on the radio, it'd be a lot of fun, and we could talk about travel because we know about that. And I said, oh, okay. So we had a slot at, I think, like 10 o'clock at night on a Monday night, which was our sort of, test. And we got some really great prizes, and I think we had about 5 people listening, and it went really well.
Mm.
And from there, we went into time slot Saturday at 12 noon, and we were there pretty much for about 17 years in different guises as a travel show.
Mm.
Wow. So you did 17 years on Joy?
Not continuously, because I had travel breaks and sometimes breaks, but and a bunch of fantastic co-hosts along the way. Yeah,
it's a nice addiction.
Yes, it
FM,
is.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's an amazing organisation. Yeah. And if you're listening and thinking, oh, I want to do something worthwhile and get out there and meet new friends and do something and learn things, come and volunteer at Joy.
And you just need to be a member. And memberships are very, very affordable. If for an annual membership, a family is $96 and individuals only $72, concessions $36. If you're under 18, it's only $22.
Now, you two have travelled together, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where have you been?
Plenty. Oman, New York.
Adelaide. We went for a wedding.
So you do go way back.
A friend of ours got married, and it was when Adelaide had the Grand Prix, and we missed the detours, and we nearly didn't make the...
Because they shut half the city down.
We parked the car and then sort of rushed in as the bride was just getting into the church.
Yeah. Had to push her over.
So, we have travelled a bit. New York, we met up there when...
Fountain Gate.
Yeah, Fountain Gate. When Krispy Kreme opened, we went there. That was fun for my birthday.
First ones to get your Krispy Kreme, yeah?
Yeah, so a lot of exciting venues.
I left Mark in the queue, and I got bored with waiting, so I went and had a wander and then came back when he got further up close in the queue.
That was a funny day.
That was funny.
Yeah.
What was New York like?
Amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah. Jodi and her partner at the time were staying at the Algonquin, which is just an amazing historical hotel, particularly if you're a lover of New York's literary world, and Dorothy Parker particularly, and her crew of drunks who used to socialise at the Algonquin. But a lot of witty repartee. Very famous hotel with a famous cat who lives in the lobby.
Yeah, it was great. And that was my first trip to New York, and we walked and walked and walked. Mm. One of the places we...
And bought new shoes.
We bought new shoes. We went on the Brooklyn
You're
Bridge.
You're obsessed by shoes, Mark Adams.
Yeah, it was amazing. Central Park. Yeah. We didn't get up to the top of the Empire State Building, but...
The queues were too long.
Yeah, anyway. See, I don't wait. I don't queue for anything. It's a bit of a theme.
It's a very American thing too. You know, everywhere you go in the States, they love a queue. Yeah, whereas
very organised queues.
Yes,
yeah, well run queues. They entertain you.
The Brits can queue well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not me.
Us Aussies, we're not right into it.
No. Yeah,
no. If there's a queue, it's like move on.
Did you see any shows on Broadway?
No, we didn't. No.
We ate a lot.
What else?
Yeah.
We did a lot of walking around and enjoying the neighbourhoods, and just enjoy things like the library and Central Park. We spent a lot of time in Central Park and just enjoying sort of the urban landscape of New York and the day-to-day living of the place.
Can you believe how they've got that park just bang in the middle of that concrete jungle is awesome, isn't
lung.
It?
Yeah.
An amazing foresight of people who planned that. Mm. And I think that's amazing in many capital cities that have lots of open parks and public space.
And we're very blessed with what we have with the gardens here.
In Melbourne,
yeah, we're very blessed.
And then so New York's sister city is Paris. Did you know that?
Wow, what a great segue, Russ. You should be on radio with segues like that.
Very smooth.
So, Jodi, with working in the shared economy is one of the things that you and your partner do. Airbnb is a part of that. And this year you were in Paris. What were you doing there and what was the...
Well, I'm a co-convener of the Melbourne Finest Host Group, which is a host group of Airbnb hosts in Melbourne with about 2,500 hosts. And my partner Rob and I built a business in sort of coaching and training people to how to be awesome hosts and give great guest experiences.
And empty their bins before new people come in.
That's correct. Yeah. And we're actually
turn
now...
Turn the shower off when the guest leaves.
Yes. Coaching people now to who are trying to start businesses to support the sharing economy or collaborative consumption, as it's sometimes called. Mm-hmm. And so that's quite exciting, sort of micro-entrepreneurs. So we went to the Airbnb Open, which was the inaugural... conference, if you will, of about 1,400 hosts from around the world in San Francisco in November in 2014. So we had an amazing experience there. And when Rob and I were there, I said, it'd be really fantastic if we could hold an event in Melbourne to sort of report back on the things that we learned.
Ah.
And the insights and, you know, the new developments about Airbnb around the world from a policy point of view and the way that people travel. So we collaborated with Paul and Justine, other hosts here in Melbourne, and held an event in February in 2015 to report back to the hosts in Melbourne. So where am I getting to Paris? So fast forward, there was an Airbnb Open, so the second one, which is in Paris in November last year. So we had the great fortune to actually travel to Paris to deliver a workshop about how other hosts could share the experiences with their hosts.
It's
a bit meta. So that's why I had to tell you the story.
It's like an enigma wrapped in a riddle.
Yeah.
There was a reason why you were there.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
So, and it was a very interesting time. There was a lot going on.
There was. So we were there for about a week, and because we're presenting to host educator workshops, there are about 5,000 Airbnb hosts who travelled from all around the world to Paris in November this year to attend. So there was purpose-built sort of stages and amazing facilities at the Grand Hall area. And so we spent, the first day, which was sort of day zero of rehearsals, getting to know the venue and, you know, practicing our presentation. And then the first day, which was the official first day of the event with, you know, keynote speakers from the founders of Airbnb. And it was fantastic. Really, really amazing. Marie Kondo. Who... You tell them what she's all about. Go on.
Jodi and I go way back, and we both have a fondness. We've shared homes several times during our adult lives. And Jodie and I both have a fondness for minimalism in the real sense of if you don't need it, then if it has value, you might be able to give that value to someone else who will really value something that you no longer value, or you might be able to sell it, or you might be able to recycle it. But just don't clutter a home. And the less you have, the more that you cherish what you do have. And I was going through a bookshop, and which I love to do, and I saw this book by Marie, I've forgotten her surname again.
Kondo,
which is about decluttering to assist your life. And I thought, I need one of those. And I thought, I know who else would like one of those. So I bought it for Jodie. So I went to see her just after she arrived back from Paris, and she'd been at the live presentation by Marie in Paris where she went through this. And it's an interesting thing. And the why she was there is if you're inviting people into your home, make your home the best place it can be.
Yeah.
And get rid of that clutter that, and release what's there by being grateful and showing the gratitude towards it, and then letting someone else who needs that value in their life to have it instead of you holding on to things that don't serve a purpose anymore. And to only keep things that give you joy. Is that how you paraphrase
it? Yeah.
Nice.
So she gave a fantastic presentation about sort of, you know, how to organise things and declutter. And it's more of a visual thing, but she sort of, you know, talks about it being sparks of joy for items and things. And if it doesn't have that spark of joy, then get rid of it. And so, yeah.
If I call you two Marie, would you come to my place?
Oh, sure.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I've got a label maker. I'll be there.
I need you both ASAP.
So it's a lot of fun. So she was a great presenter. There were really, really terrific presentations, which we'll talk further about later.
Talking about all things Airbnb and gay Paris. What do you think, Jodie? Was it gay?
Oh, it was fantastic, actually. You know, my first trip to Paris was when I was just about 18, I think. I was in Germany as an exchange student, so I went to Paris. So I didn't really get to experience a lot of it, to be honest. You know, I was there quite young and not for a very long time. So this trip in November last year with my partner Rob was just amazing. We spent about a week and we stayed at an Airbnb in a great little neighbourhood which doesn't have a lot of sort of traditional accommodation. So that was great to live like a local. And walking everywhere and going to the Airbnb open, which was the sort of main purpose of our trip. It was an amazing experience.
The City of Love?
Yeah. Well, we went up to the Eiffel Tower and we shared some nice moments there and had a few kisses.
Aww.
Yeah.
Did you selfie them? Instagram, hashtag bless.
Actually, we didn't get a selfie, but I think we've got some nice photos.
Sleepless in Paris.
Paris was also a challenging time when you were there, wasn't it?
It was. So we had the 2 days of the Airbnb Open, which was the conference with hosts from all around the world and great presentations. I guess the challenging one, which, you know, trigger warning, getting straight to the sort of gist of it, is that's when the terrorist attacks occurred on the 13th of November. So we'd finished the sort of day two of the event and we're out with some friends having a meal and, you know, bustling city, out and about, sort of 8 o'clock. We had an amazing meal with some friends and Rob and I decided to head back to the Airbnb apartment and decided to just jump in a cab. And we got back to the apartment, you know, got ready to sort of settle in for the night and heard lots and lots of sirens. That wasn't unusual because we heard light at
downtown Paris.
Yeah, and new sounds, and we're quite near to a station, a fire station. So that didn't seem odd, but it seemed to go for a long time. And I guess we tried not to think too much about it. And there was only French TV. I didn't think about sort of checking if anything had happened. But so we went to bed. And as it is, no matter where I am in the world, I will get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to the bathroom, right? So I got up to go to the bathroom and I just happened to look at my mobile phone to, I don't know, look on Facebook or something and saw a whole bunch of text messages and missed calls from my sister in Australia and I thought, gosh, what's going on here? Turned on the news and saw that there'd been 7 attacks that night in Paris.
Must have been terrifying.
Well, at that stage, it was surreal. Before it became terrifying, and we were about a kilometre away from one of the sites. The next day when we sort of worked that out, and we were so fortunate to be safe, and all of the friends and people we were travelling with were safe too. So it did feel quite surreal, is I guess the only way to describe it.
Mm. So I was one of those text messages and Facebook messages, and we were all very relieved because I was on the phone to your sister, and it was a confronting time because, as I discussed with your sister, you're probably asleep and unaware that this is happening, which fortunately was the case. But Facebook had this really unique system that was just rolled out not long prior, which was a fantastic addition because there were some other people I didn't realise who were in Paris, and it was the safe check-in function. Did you use that?
We did. So it sort of came up, you know, just to sort of check in if you were safe. Interestingly...
So how did that work? Was it you went on Facebook and then it said, recognised your geolocation?
Yeah, it must have. And then you could sort of opt in for that if you wanted to sort of post that.
And what did it do? It just let everybody know that you were okay?
Well, it just sort of posted that, you know, you were safe and accounted for.
Awesome.
It was quite interesting. I've never been in that situation like that. I mean, Rob and I had travelled to Thailand a couple of years prior, and there was a military coup, and it sort of happened quite a long distance away, and, you know, it didn't impact on us. But this was the first time that either of us had travelled where there'd been something major and that impacted the safety, the well-being, that, you know, the essence of a city. And many, many people were obviously tragically killed. What was quite interesting from a travel and a safety point of view was that how many people reached out to us. Mm-hmm. And we were staying in an Airbnb apartment. The next day, our host texted us to make sure we're okay. On the Thursday night, we had a dinner which was hosted by a Parisian. We're using a website called Visit, where you can eat with a local. And Marie, our host there, and I reached out to see if we're okay. We had one of the Australian staff from Airbnb who was at the Open got in touch with us as well. Of course, also our friends. We even got a message from our travel insurance company to say, you know, are you okay? Do you need anything? It was the only time I've travelled internationally that I didn't register with Smart Traveller. The irony.
Wow.
So my sister got online and sort of filled in some information there and to make sure that we're all okay and accounted for.
Yep.
Yeah, I think Smart Traveller is a good thing. I have never used it, but, you know, listening to this story of yours now, yeah, definitely is a good idea. Do you use it, Mark?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a proponent. Basically, because I was living overseas for so long that I wanted to make sure that because I was not resident of Australia, but if anything was to happen when I was overseas, I'd have to be looked after by the Australian government.
Right.
That whenever I travelled, I just registered online. I was here for these dates and so forth. It's very straightforward, very easy.
Yep.
And I was registered as an overseas resident, and they would email me on quite a regular basis, just check in and
make sure you're okay.
Well, not so. It wasn't like a feedback thing, but they would send email if you need this information, if you need this, because you're registered as living overseas, and we do this now, and just sort of keeping me up to date with things. And because I was living in the Middle East, I would get notifications about the area. You got to select countries that you were likely to travel to, so they would update you on warnings. Uh-huh. And because at the time I was traveling to places like Lebanon, Syria, and Jordan and Israel, but and Egypt, but this is before the Arab Spring, so there wasn't really much. But until I opted out of all those warnings, there was this flurry of warnings about.
Oh, absolutely,
it went from Egypt reconsider to Egypt do not go.
Yeah,
to Syria do not go. To if you go, you're on your own.
Right.
Yeah, because we cannot guarantee any safety, and we can't get in to help you.
Yeah.
So that's when I started opting out of these things, going, I'm just not going to go. You don't need to tell me that. Yeah, so it is a very good service. So do it. If you're traveling, just go on smarttraveller.gov.au. Yep, yep. And get onto it, make sure that people know where you are, so there, if there is something. But I was fascinated that Facebook did this thing, but I couldn't work out how it worked. So it just popped up. Because I got a thing saying, four of your friends are in Paris and are okay. I was like, I know one of them, well, two, but I know a couple who were there, but I don't know about these other people. What are they doing in Paris?
Wow.
I had no idea that they were there.
And then you were able to send a message to them, like, I'm glad that you're okay, and blah, blah, blah. Is that?
Yeah, I did. I just PM'd them all and said that I'm glad to see that you're okay, keep safe, thinking of you. If there's something I can do, let me know. I don't think there is from here, but sometimes just letting people know that you're thinking of them and is comforting enough. And,
yes.
That's really all I had to offer at the stage.
Ash, but you know, you're right though, Mark, though. I mean, those words of comfort were comforting, and from friends who, you know, even people I hadn't been in touch with recently, and to know that you're being thought of, and of course, that night, you know, was when I got up, was 3 o'clock, and then, you know, we got up the next day, and the Parisian authorities closed down all the major monuments, not just out of a sign of respect, but for safety reasons, and were advising people not to congregate in public areas, and that was going to be the third day of the Airbnb Open, which was going to be sort of civic volunteering, some tourism activities or group activities, and then the host awards night, and all of those were cancelled. So the two full days of the Open occurred and took place, and we all took part in that, and that final day didn't take place. But I wandered around the streets, you know, in our local area just to get some groceries, and I was really heartened by the local Parisians who were out and about doing normal things. Mm. And that made me feel like it was okay to go on. I mean, I know that it was really confronting, actually, because you suddenly think, gosh, that could have been us.
Exactly.
Yeah. And some of our other friends who from Melbourne were in other local restaurants where they're in lockdown till, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning. So we were really, really fortunate.
I'm hearing what you're saying with regards to the local Parisians. I mean, if you're seeing them out shopping and living their normal life, as they would have to do because they live there, well, it takes away the amount of panic and you thinking, right, I've got to get out of here.
Exactly. And I think too, you know, ultimately, unfortunately, terrorism occurs, but I think it would be just dreadfully sad if that prevents us from travelling and makes us so scared that we don't go and do the things that we want to do.
I was at a railway station and the day that it happened, I saw a door with "this door is alarmed," and I thought the terrorists have already won.
What do you mean exactly?
It was alert, not alarmed.
Oh, right. Okay.
So our guest is Jodie Wilmer, who a lot of listeners will recognise her dulcet tones very, very rapidly. Jodie has done many different things. One of the things we're talking about today is her work with Airbnb and education and so forth, but also her recent trip to Paris for the Airbnb Open and the unfortunate events that happened at the same time. But there were also some wonderful experiences. So let's drill down on that now.
Well, we had an opportunity and a choice as part of the Airbnb Open to either go to a local Parisian restaurant with, you know, a number of other hosts and locals and Airbnb staff and experience that, or go online to a website called Viz Eat and choose a place to have dinner at a local Parisian's house, so being their guest. So we decided to opt for that option.
Fair enough. It sounds like a great option.
And, you know, people, it's like food porn. So, you know, all these different meals online and you can choose which one looks good.
So it's not a tin of spaghetti in a sandwich,
no.
Toasted sandwich and an egg on top. Or
no, anything that had frog legs we didn't go for. So there was a and then a little profile picture.
No McDonald's takeaway.
No, none of that. And with some French fries. But there was a fantastic picture of a roast chicken and a little blurb about the lady Marie, who's a young woman who enjoys cooking and wanted to host people in her home. And so Rob and I went along and, you know, it was like sort of, it was a funny feeling. You know, it sometimes takes a long time to get to know people in Australia until they invite you to your house.
Right.
Or to their house. So in this case, you know, we hadn't even physically met and we were just going to her house with a bottle of wine and hi,
expecting
we're here.
A chicken.
That's right. So she was really, really fantastic and very generous and spoke English really well and well-travelled, and her partner joined later. And we also had David, who's the global head of Airbnb's food service, and he came as a guest as well. Mm-hmm. Now, poor Marie was feeling a bit intimidated by that, thinking, oh, gosh, he's a food guru and here I'm making roast chicken. But it was fantastic. and we had beautiful cheeses and he was delightful as well.
Mm.
So it was a great experience. It was really
fun. I think those home stays or home anything to do in someone's house where you're going to get a local to feed you a meal or take you out and see their local burb is very exciting for someone who's visiting a city for the first, second or third time. It's a great idea.
Absolutely. So what were the other choices? Was it you could go to different things? Was it a set menu? Did you get to say, I'm allergic to, I don't like gluten?
Yeah. You could nominate or specify if you had any sort of food intolerances. Or preferences,
maybe.
Vegans or whatever. But you know, I guess it depends on the host and what they feel confident about cooking and what their cultural background is and how they'd like to share that. So there are all sorts of different dishes available, and we had a really nice night. It was great. And in fact, when we travel again, I think I'm going to seek out that sort of experience again.
Yeah. Was there a fee involved?
It was part of the open. So you know, it was included in the registration costs. So that was pretty cool.
So if you go to Visit, it's something that it describes everything on there, I guess. The website's quite clear.
Yeah. And that's an international site. In coming to Australia fairly soon or even already is another one called Bon Appetit. And, you know, if you search food, people's houses, you know, sharing economy, something will pop up and it's worth checking it out.
That's fantastic. I mean, that sort of urban adventure touring is now the way to go. I know there's several tour companies that that actually get out there and get locals to take you on day tours and things like that. So I think that's very exciting. So did you do any inspections of any of the B&Bs while you were in Paris?
No, just the one we stayed in, which was fantastic. You know, it was great to stay in a local's home, and our host was fantastic. She you know, it was very available and communicated really well. And it was a great experience, although I wasn't really aware of how small some of the Parisian apartments can be.
Right.
So just picture this, you know, Rob and I are not big people, but, you know, in the bathroom, one person could be in the shower and the other one, you know, might be brushing their teeth, but we couldn't go past each other. So, like, one would have to get out of the bathroom for the other one to come in and out. Same with the kitchen. But the rest of the apartment was fine. And, look, you're only there to have a shower and sleep anyway, so it's fine.
I think that's the best way to look at Airbnb, is in those big European cities, because we found the same in Rome and Naples, that they are just that. They're a place to they're clean and they're someone's house, but they're places that the locals may have lived at some stage, and they're not big. It's just it's a different perspective. It's like the minimalist stuff that you two were talking about earlier. Mm. For the Europeans, they don't have all of this clutter and crap in their homes.
It's well, for people that live in smaller accommodation, that's true.
Exactly.
I mean, there are a lot of Europeans that do have clutter. I can attest to some of the larger homes I lived in Germany. Yeah, were people with huge homes that were full of things and memories and books and interesting things. They weren't messy, but they were certainly loaded to the gunnels with interesting memorabilia from lots of travels and so forth. But certainly was clutter-free.
Was there a buzz that came out of Paris with Airbnb?
Yeah, it was really exciting. I mean, to hear reports back about what's happening globally and marketing initiatives, and I guess from a host perspective, there's always new things in the platform that are evolving. And one of the new things which was launched then was about business-ready travel, business travel-ready. So, you know, a lot of business travellers are wanting to spend time in local communities and local neighbourhoods where they can live like a local.
Mm.
And obviously from their company's perspective, or even if they're a micro business themselves, they've got some certain criteria that's often important. So, for example, you know, smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, an ironing board, an iron, somewhere to hang your clothes, 24-hour check-in. So Airbnb has now created some additional fields that if you meet, you know, that criteria, then you can get a sort of certain badging. So that helps people find an appropriate accommodation to meet their business needs. Oh, and having, you know, a suitable space for a laptop and Wi-Fi.
Yep.
Reliable Wi-Fi.
Fast, reliable.
Yeah. So, it was a fantastic experience, and our host educator sessions went really well. We got to meet people from all around the world and some hosts who we'd sort of communicated with online, and then you meet them in person, and that was quite exciting.
Mm. And you've got your own B&B here in Melbourne, which is very exciting. So how have you found hosting people here in Melbourne?
It's a great experience. We started hosting originally when I moved in with Rob. And so we don't live in the apartment, but we have guests stay there. And our guests are gorgeous. We screen them to make sure that they're going to look after the place and respect our neighbours. And, it's terrific.
So you two are the type of couple that, not so much a couple, excuse me, both of you, but you're the people that I would look up online and I would say, perhaps a gay man and a female. Yes, that'll be clean. That'll be nice and tidy. I'll go with that B&B rather than, you know, the surfer boy from down the street who's got a surfboard in the bedroom thinking, no, I'm not going there.
And a bong in the dishwasher.
That's right.
great.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, you can think, you can look at different profiles and just say 1,000 words. And my advice to any travellers are, you know, regardless of the platform, if things aren't well presented and if there's dishes in the sink.
Or a baby on the bed.
Yeah, I was doing a review of a listing the other day and the lady actually, the third photo had a little baby sort of like having a little snooze on the double bed. And I said, I think you need to lose that picture. Lose the baby.
Keep the baby. No, keep the baby.
And make
you
the
You don't
bed.
Have to get rid of the baby.
That's right. That's right.
Just not in the picture.
That's right. Care for the baby.
And there was a disclaimer. We can get rid of the children's toys. They were all over the floor.
Oh, were they?
Just like, you would hope so. Someone will break their neck trying to walk on that floor.
And you know, house shoe or house slippers that Lego provide, that so that you don't step on other, you know, all those little sharp bits of Lego. You would need those for the whole house in this place. Don't take them
it
off.
Sounds fantastic. Anywho, Jodie Wilmer, thank you for joining us over the hour on Escape Pod.
Oh, I love it when Jodie's in. All these great questions that you can ask about.
Great
Airbnb.
Insight.
Yes.
Thank you.
We've been talking about shared economy, but you were just mentioning off air, there's a website that you can get accommodation for free. Is that right?
Yeah. Look, people have, you know, had all sorts of different arrangements for many, many years. And couch surfing is one of those where you can stay for free and do reviews of the host and the guest. And a new one that we've just come across recently is called Workaway. Now, we came across this, we went to visit a friend recently and they have an au pair who was helping them out with a whole bunch of stuff in around the house and some in their business. And we thought, oh, that'd be really cool if we had someone to help us with things. Maybe we could find a website like that. And then we found this website called Workaway where it matches guests who are looking to stay with hosts for free in return for, you know, 15, 20 hours worth of work. Thought, oh, this sounds really cool.
That's a good
so
idea.
We've just started doing that. We hosted our first guest, you know, who arrived today.
Yeah.
And it's going well so far.
Awesome. Well, so your number hours in and things are going swimmingly.
It's interesting you should mention that because this morning when I was surfing for the show today, I found a website called mistravel.com. Now, you can go on this website and register and depending on what you want to do, you can either join someone on their trip or you can find someone who will pay for you to go on a trip.
Oh.
So it's a
companion.
It's a really interesting site. It's a dating site for travel.
Oh.
So you actually go online and you meet a man, mistravel.com. It sounds a bit camp, doesn't it?
But M-I-S-T-R-A.
No, miss, M-I-S-S.
Oh.
Travel.com. So you go on here, you register, and if you go...
So it's on misadventure.
Yeah, well, some of the categories I found were hilarious. I'll pay for us, you'll pay for us, or split the cost 50-50. I kind of like the you'll pay for us for me. Yeah, I think that.
What do you have to do for someone else to pay for you, though?
Well, you've got to look extremely sexy and get right into it, I guess. So, yeah.
Well, I think everyone's going to go and the you pay for us and see what happens. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.